And now to Iraq, a U.S. soldier was killed there today, another injured in an attack north of Baghdad. Also, Islamist militants released a video reportedly showing British hostage Kenneth Bigley being beheaded. Authorities have not yet confirmed the authenticity of the video. We at NPR rely on our reporters and producers in Iraq to keep you informed about developments there. That job has become extremely difficult. Since the U.S.-led invasion last year, 33 journalists have been killed, making Iraq among the most dangerous stories that journalists have covered in the past decade. Some news organizations are reducing their presence in Iraq. Day-to-Day's Eric Weiner has a report.
War correspondents, by definition, face risks. There's always the danger of being caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. But in Iraq, journalists face a different kind of danger.
Then there was a second rocket that tore through past our position here. Must have only been a couple of hundred meters less from me. A tremendous whoosh and then a slam into the side of the Sheraton Hotel. We ducked down in case...
That's CNN's Brent Sadler describing yesterday's attack on the Sheraton Hotel in Baghdad, home to many foreign journalists. There were no serious injuries, but the attack was a stark reminder of one thing. In Iraq, journalists are seen not as neutral observers, but as legitimate targets, not only for attacks like this, but also for kidnapping. More than 20 journalists have been kidnapped in the past year or so. Most were released unharmed, but Italian journalist Enzo Baldoni was killed by his captors in August, and two French journalists are still being held. Many news organizations are now relying on local Iraqi staff to gather information in the field. Joel Campagna, Mideast Program Coordinator for the Committee to Protect Journalists, says it is these Iraqi employees who now face the greatest risk.
Many of these people are at the front lines, gathering images of conflict, of the aftermath of clashes between U.S. forces and Iraqi insurgents. Oftentimes they are in extremely dangerous situations.
Some European news organizations have concluded that the risks of covering the war in Iraq outweigh the benefits, and they've pulled out altogether. Loïc Bureau, Washington bureau chief for the French TV network TF1, explains his network's decision to close its Baghdad bureau, at least for now.
We don't think that there is an interest in staying there, being stuck in a hotel room for days, having like a minimum coverage because you can't take risks outside being either American, French, Italian, or whatever, Korean.
Those journalists remaining in Iraq say they are trying to cope with the security threat that has, in some ways, made their job as difficult now as it was under Saddam Hussein and his authoritarian regime. An email written by Wall Street Journal reporter Farnaz Fasihi sums up the mood of many journalists covering Iraq. She writes that, quote, being a foreign correspondent in Baghdad these days is like being under virtual house arrest. She lists all of the things she cannot do in Baghdad. She can't walk on the streets, can't be overheard speaking English, can't eat out in restaurants, can't strike up a conversation with strangers. In Baghdad, Fasihi concludes, I am a security personnel first, a journalist second. And that's in Baghdad. Other cities in the so-called Sunni Triangle are simply off limits for foreign journalists. Larry Kaplow, Baghdad correspondent for Cox Newspapers, spoke with me via satellite phone.
It is frustrating from a news point of view. I mean, I would love to be able to go into Fallujah and spend some days and nights in there and talk to those people about what they're going through and what life is really like there right now, but it's just impossible.
Kaplow says he can still do interviews in Baghdad, but he's forced to take precautions that were unnecessary only a few months ago.
And I still interview Iraqis occasionally on the street, more often now in their home or in their offices, sometimes in their stores. I just try not to linger so long that word would spread that there's an American or a foreigner on the block, because I basically think that the people who do have ill intentions make it known that they're willing to pay for information when someone convenient comes into their area.
Kaplow has grown a beard in order to blend into the crowd and pass what he calls the 5-second test, the time it takes to elude those on the lookout for foreigners. For Day to Day, I'm Eric Weiner.